Let's open up. There's a couple points by way of introduction. The topic we're talking about today is Yahrzeits. We're talking a little bit about exactly what they're, how to celebrate them. We'll talk about whether celebrate has the exact connotations that we may be going for. But to note two things by way of introduction. One is that it's definitely meaningful. We have Zev here also. In the first source, the Nesivos and the Mount Ephraim talk about the grandchildren on the yahrzeit of their grandparents. There's also a special connection there, and the notion of having grandchildren there is something which is certainly very powerful. And the fourth source, one of the earliest statements we have about what exactly should be done on a yahrzeit, is a Rashi at the way end of Masechta Yevamos. And Rashi writes there in the end of Yevamos, in the name of a tshuva of the Gaonim, Uva tshuvas haGaonim matzasi, I found that a tshuva. On the day that a great person has passed away, they establish in his honor. And every year when that day comes to pass, the day he passed away, the yahrzeit, that they would get together at the place where he, at his kever, and they would learn Torah there. And certainly one of the most powerful ways that we can honor the memory of someone is dafka through learning. And in that sense, the fact that Mr. Miller has been here for a couple of days already, learning really all day. And it's really, when you speak about Rashi here in Yevamos, it's the primary way, one of the earliest ways we find that a yahrzeit should really be celebrated. Now let's talk a little bit more directly. Yahrzeits go by a couple different names. The name yahrzeit is from what language?
Yiddish.
When the name yahrzeit actually was, when the Sfardim started hearing about the name yahrzeit, a little bit before the Ben Ish Chai, they didn't know it was Yiddish. So they heard the word yahrzeit, and they were trying to figure out where it comes from. So they had different theories in the poskim, in some of the Sfardish poskim, and some of the Baalei Machshava, trying to figure out yahrzeit is Rosh Tevos for what? So they have different theories where yahrzeit really comes from, not knowing that it's just a Yiddish word. So the Ben Ish Chai goes out of his way and lets Pasuk's Parsha and Vayechi to tell us, and if you don't know that, it's hard to know why he would say this. The yahrzeit hu yom haptira b'lashon Ashkenaz, v'gam asfardim horiklu likra oso b'shem zeh b'sifreyem, v'ein bazeh roshe tevos o remez achver k'mo shechosh ma'olam. Where I am, everyone thinks yahrzeit has these like fancy meanings. It's a Rosh Tevos, it's a Remez, it's Lashon Ashkenaz, it's Yiddish. That's yahrzeit. It's a day that someone passed away, the Yom HaPtira. That's what Lashon Ben Ish Chai uses. It's a name when someone passed away. Some of us are certainly familiar with another name, which is a Hilula. A Hilula is a name where we don't use it that often. Hilula in particular is used with the passing of a tzaddik. The chassidim get together and have a hilula. And if you look in source number 3, a sefer Shar Ruven, it's a fantastic sefer of different discussions of, I guess it really it's random topics, but he has a long discussion about yahrzeit. He points out, v'lechorah bir milas hilula hu simcha, u'chagemar bebrachos behilule, v'nasnu bo remesh osa yom nechel l'tzadik u'simcha gedola alsev nichnas l'gan eden. The name hilula, so that does have a certain connotation. One of them being, which is a little bit odd, that the yahrzeit a day, which is a day a little bit of simcha. It's not a day which, from a certain perspective, is sad. It's a day that comes with a certain amount of joy. He has another pshat. What does hilula mean? Al pi gemara maseches erevin, that it indicates the fact hashmeinu shat tzadik adayin imanu mashpia aleinu ba'olam haza. It also connotes the fact, based on the gemara maseches erevin, that the tzadik is still with us in this world. That we're talking about his impact. So when we speak about the name yahrzeit or hilula, we have some very different ideas. Yahrzeit, a yom of the ptira, which is also not some use of a yom of ptira, is one that has a certain, it's sad. It's a sad day where we're saying goodbye to someone. We're remembering someone that was there and isn't anymore. Hilula shifts in a little bit of a different direction. Hilula, we start thinking a little bit more about a time of simcha, which is very, very, it's odd to think about. The day they passed away, a day of simcha. And it's also a day to remember that they're still with us in the sense that their impact is still there. Like last week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. So that's in some of the Avar. Let's tell us what exactly that means. In one of like the Avar from Wachim last year, Sefer about modern day Chabad. So there was a long discussion there when they're talking about the Baal Shrevi, like being done and what exactly Yaakov Avinu lo meis means. Because like the notion of tzaddikim living forever, and there's definitely something to say for that. So that's by way of introduction. The name Yahrzeit, the name Hilula, what exactly it connotes. We're going to talk primarily about two different ways in which the day is celebrated. One is the fasting route. That taps in a little bit more to sort of the sad elements of the Yahrzeit. The second is what's developed in a lot of places, which is sort of the, Yamacha L'chaim after Davin. There's a suda sometimes, you have a little bit of a drink, and that shift away from the fast to being a day where the real celebration is not through fasting, but through sitting around a table with a lot of different people and really eating and things like that, and where that comes from. So let's talk about the fasting a little bit. We'll see why some fast, where that comes from, and then we'll talk a little bit about why in many places that's not the custom, what has developed to be the custom. A lot of it starts from the Gemara Masechta Nedarim and Daf Yud Beis. The Gemara tells us that a person would take a neder. You would take a vow saying that. Amar hayreni so ochal basa v'shloash deyayin ki yom shemeis bo aviv ki yom shemeis bo rabba. The Gemara tells in Nedarim and Daf Yud Beis that a person would say, I'm not going to eat basar, I'm not going to eat meat or drink wine. And in describing their neder, they say, like the day that my father or the day that my Rebbe passed away. The Bir HaGra points out this seems to be the source for a Ramah, where the Ramah tells us in source number 10, that the mitzvah l'his'anos, that there is such a minhag to fast, to step further than the Gemara, but a minhag to fast. Why? Why aren't people eating meat and wine on a day of a Yahrzeit? So the Rosh says, it's the oracle of the milsa l'star of Yom Shemesh Bo'av of Rabba. It's a hard day. It's a hard day. When it's a day that a person's father, Rebbe, passed away, it's a hard day. You're not going to eat as much. And that seems to have developed into, it's like, you have that by some of the Chassidim talk about that, how some of the fast is, they're Tisha B'Av. The after Rebbe used to say that, Tisha B'Av is a day where, like, what Jew could eat on Tisha B'Av. It's not a question of, like, whether there is an Isser or not. It's a question of, it's just a hard day. If you ever have that when you're, like, a little bit, sometimes if you're very nervous about something, it's hard to eat. It's hard to eat. If you're very, like, if you ever have that, like you have a, I don't know, I had this all the time when I was in college. I get nervous. So you have like a final there are two times for finals in YU. So there. One is the 9:30 in the morning slot or the 1 o'clock in the afternoon slot. And I would get very nervous. I had some basketball games in high school also, though. In light of like my 2-12 record, I probably shouldn't have been that nervous. So, like, you know where the result's going. But it was always hard to eat a little bit, and it was a little bit nervous and hard to eat. And obviously, all the more so when it's a day when you're really mitzta'er about the passing. I think that's something that really matters much more. So that's something which it's a little bit hard. It's a little bit hard. And the Yahrzeit, that day becomes a day of, it's a sad day in a certain sense. It's a day of fasting. If you look in the Ramah and the Taz in sources number 7 and 8, it's also a day when summer noheg avelas. Every year in the Yahrzeit, there are those that won't go to simchas on the day of the Yahrzeit. So they have a wedding that night, just like if it's within Yud Beis Chodesh. If it's within the year when they are when a relative passed away, you won't go to a simcha. There are some who treat the Yahrzeit just like that. I won't go. I'm not going to go participate in Simcha, because the day is really a very, very sad day. Why are we fasting? So on the one level, we suggested one idea, which is that it's hard. The Levush and the Maran Min suggest two other ideas, and this highlights a different shift. One idea, and we're getting a little bit, we're shifting now a bit towards the world in a certain sense of Kabbalah, and we'll get a little bit towards in Chassidus. If you look in the Levush writes, "V'taima shamati sheyas et tshuva v'mnei hasakana d'reya mazle b'yom shemeis bo avo o'ima." You know what we're fasting? We're not fasting for the father. We're fasting for the Baal Yahrzeit himself. today of tshuva for the Baal Yartzeit himself, because whatever that means, his mazel in Shemayim. Gemara says in Shabbos on Kuf Nun Vav that ein mazel Yisrael. Where's Rishon? Is that right? Can you check that? That you're like, I'm already there. That ein mazel Yisrael mitzarecha. But we know that there's a certain mazel. Things impact us in different ways. So we have the Baal Yartzeit when it's a day that his father passed away. So for him also, things are a bit tenuous in Shemayim. He wants to make sure he's going to be in a good place. Therefore, he fasts. For himself, to protect himself. Others suggest it's not about me, it's about the Avel. It's about the person who passed away. That every year on the day of the Yartzeit, there's a new little bit of a din. There's a little bit of an extra din every year in the Yartzeit. So we fast to do tshuva, we fast for another chus, for the person who passed away. So for us who are learning now, we're doing it as a chus, we're doing it as a chus for the person that passed away. Ad kan as far as why we're fasting and what's going on. Now, how many of us know people who, or if any of us have grandparents passed away, how many of our parents fast on the Yartzeit? Okay, so it is the... Many don't. When you read Shulchan Aruch and you read Ramah, it's pretty clear the Ramah writes it's a minhag. So I was talking with Mr. Miller earlier. So he said that the first year of the Yartzeit, he was learning with the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Shalavim, Rav Meir Sassinger, and on the Yartzeit, it was Erev the Yartzeit. And Rav Meir said to him, so you're going to fast tomorrow, right? So he's like, I guess so. You know, he said, like, the Rosh Hashiva says it, so that's what you do. I'll repeat that just for kids. When the Rosh Hashiva says it, that's what you do. Okay. I don't know if you're... Whatever. Okay. So there are many that do have that, practice. Why don't we? Why do many not? Where does it come from? When you look at some of the Hilchos Avelos Sfarim, you'll see this sometimes. You learn the Halachos Sfarim, the Hilchos Avelos Sfarim, so it looks like you're learning them, and it's, we're quoting Shulchan Aruch from Ramaz, and you gotta fast, and you're looking around, and you're like, wait a minute, that's not what I see. That's not what's happening. So where does this come from? So in the Halachic source, the Bir HaGra and Shulchan Aruch, the Bir HaGra writes on that Ramah, that yeah, the source for the Ramah is the Gemara Nedarim, a parallel Gemara Mitzuis, Kiyom Shemesh Bo Aviv, Kiyom Shemesh Bo Rabba, we dafka don't eat that much, we dafka wouldn't eat them that day. But the Bir HaGra writes, of our Isi Lemefarshim, Shapirsu Oso Hayom Dafka. No. What it really means is not that every year on the Yartzeit, I'm not going to eat certain things like meat and wine. What it does in fact mean is that on the day the person passed away, so that was a very powerful day. That was a day when I'm not going to eat meat or drink wine, but not that every single year it comes up again. So the Bir HaGra points it out from the perspective of just how you read the Gemara Nedarim, a little bit more of a halachic source. If you want to find a discussion about it, Otus HaMusar, written by Rav, with Tsuriel from Mashdiach of Yeshiva Singer HaKadosha. So Rav Tsuriel HaMusar has a discussion about this. Ad Kan, the first chelek of the Shir. So far, looking at the Mekoros, in the section on fasting, we're dealing with a lot of Rishonim, some Rishonim. We're dealing with Poskim. When you flip the page, so we now shift. We have an Oy Yisrael, the After Rebbe, Nitzik Avriel, Chabad a little bit. Suddenly, what happens? So the minhag is, in a lot of places, that many people don't fast on the Yartzeit. So, if you look in source number 16, Nitte Gavriel, he's a big Talmud Chacham who lives in Brooklyn. Once visited him. It was great. He he used to come more to, I think he used to, he's a Tzitzish guy, big Talmud Chacham. He used to come to the YU library sometimes. Because in the days before Otzar HaChachma, where now you can get on the databases all the Sfarim, so a lot of the YU library used to have a lot more of these like Sisha looking guys who would come into the YU library to get access to all the Sfarim that they have there. But now with the Otzar HaChachma, you can get it on the databases, so you have a little bit less of that. So he put out a couple great Sfarim on Baba Kama and Kiddushin, editions of Rishonim on there, and Salah Sfarim also. And he's great. He collects a lot, and he was, my one experience with him, he was exceptionally pleasant. He's really great. So he points out, where does the minhag come from that we stop fasting? So he said here in verse number 16, Sefer of Italian tone, not ours, the one from the time of the Arizal, that already there he points out that in the time of the Arizal, he was living when? 1500s. Good. Already there, he says, people already stopped with all the fasting. People already weren't doing it as much anymore. We're not going to... They stopped a lot of this. The Maharam Shik. The Maharam Shik already also didn't fast in the Yartzeit anymore. Why? Reason number one. Why weren't they fasting? Maharam Shik. V'chein nag Maharam Shik shelo his'ane b'yom ha'yartzeit shelo vatel mitam ha'torah. The Talmud Torah had kulam. Ulamisha Efshar Yeshlo La Sokbatora. Reason number one why they weren't fasting is because Talmud Torah is in certain it seems like more important. And if I fast, it's gonna come maybe at the expense of my learning, maybe not that much this time of year when the fast ends at like, I don't know. Even though more than me, I guess. Yeah, but that was the Maharam Shik shot. Huh? Honestly, you can say anything right now, and I believe you. So. Okay. Great. That's reason number one, the Talmud Torah. I'll add as a Kanate, those familiar with the writings of the Alter Rebbe, the Geresh Tshuva, where Shatra points out in one of his Svarim, that, never mind, I'll get it later. The second is in Chassidus in particular, we don't fast that much. We don't fast that much. We are shifting now with Parsha Shmos. Shmos through Mishpatim, or this year we have a Tav, probably, right? Is it a leap year? Yeah, is that how it works? Anyone? Where we're starting Shovavim. So we have Shovavim Tav coming up. Shovavim is Rosh Tevos, that's not Yiddish. For the first part, the Parsha Shmos, Vayira Bo. Good, you all got accepted to Shavuot. Shovavim is a time where many would fast. In the old days, many would fast. I remember once I was in, with my brother, we were in Girsa's farm store, and we walked in across the street to a Mincha Minyan this time of year, and it ended up being one of these, like, I don't know, one of these, like, Kabbalistic Kavana Minyanim Shovavim time. The next thing we knew was, like, an hour and 20 minutes later, we find out with Mincha. So Shovavim is a time where you have a lot of people who are fasting. You have a lot of people also who are trying to tshuva for certain aveiros. The Oiv Yisrael writes that already, but he says, again, it's from last week's parsha also, he makes it sound like it's a question of we're weaker. We're weaker nowadays. A lot of posts can talk in those terms. We used to fast, and it's good to fast, but what can we say? We are a bunch of weak people who can't do it. How's that for a positive, you know, emotional speech? Right, that's the way some of the posts can refer to it. What can you do? What can you do? It's hard. It's hard. That's the second shot. Comes along Bab Terebi in source number 17, and he totally, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. The reason we're not fasting is for the following. It's a letter, sefer called Sha'arei Halacha U'Minhag. One of the things which is great about Chabad is that they wrote down and published kimat, like whatever the Rebbe ever said, they wrote down, and anything he ever wrote, they published. So we have, like, again, some of it's like, you know, I didn't need the three-line letter saying, you know, whatever, some random thing. You do, I don't. It's unbelievable the amount that we have from him. So here the Rebbe writes as follows. Yesh nogin hisanos b'yartzeit, uv'prat b'yartzeit shal tzadikim. There is a minhag. It's a minhag quoted in Shulchan Aruch, quoted in the Ramah, based on the Gemara Maseches Nedarim. Amnam lo matzinu shenyin zem muva b'minhagei Chabad u'b'sifrei Torah Chabad. Say for a Tanya, Torah Or, Likutei Torah, we don't find this recorded in any of the Chabad Sfarim. Like I said before, this matters more for Chabad than for most Hasidus. Because Chabad published everything. There's a lot of things being published. I don't find it in the writings of the Chabad Hasidim to fast. Why not? So they're not going to talk about the Maram Shik, it's about learning. They're not going to talk about Ov Yisrael, we're a little bit weaker. It's for a different idea, and I think it's a very beautiful one. V'yesh lomar shezeru behetem l'shitas ha-chasidus. Uvifrat chasidus chabad. Shebedoros elu ha-achronim tzichum l'may bataniyos v'sigufem. We fast less in these generations. Why? Ki yadua Torah sabal shem tov. Because the Baal Shem had the following idea. Ki tira chamor soncha azov tazov imo. She'ein letzayras aguf bataniyos v'sigufem. Our avoda is not to cause pain to our bodies. That's not what we're challenged to do. That's not what we're supposed to try and accomplish. Ela adaraba, azov ta'azov imo. Lavod es ha-kadosh baruch hu im ha-guf. V'al derech zeho rasa raf ha-magid, shekasher na'aseh for katan b'guf, na'aseh for gadol b'neshama. The reason why, in this form of Chabad at least, they're not fasting, is not because we're weaker, and it's not because it's about learning. We're not fasting because our avoda is not to cause pain to our bodies. Our avoda is to worship the Ribono Shel Olam with our bodies. The shift from fasting is because there's a shift in avoda. We're not focusing as much anymore on causing ourselves pain. We're focusing on hurting, you know, the tinus is like, Rashatra points out that tinus, if you look in the Alter Rebbe, and he's a raya from the Gemara in Brachos, that fasting was, in halacha, is considered to be like your makriv a karban. When you fast, it's like you're offering a sacrifice. You're giving up a piece of yourself. So here, we don't want to do that. That's not our goal. Our goal isn't the remove my body. Worship God with your body. Worship God in that kind of way. It's magid kot, it's magid of measure, saying when there are problems with your guf, there are problems with your nesham. The shift away from fasting, chassid, is pointing us in a little bit of that direction. Let's chazer where we're at so far, and what we're going to hopefully do in the next make sure the clock is right. Next, I guess 15 minutes or so. We saw so far the following. The nods in the crowd. Yes, 15 minutes, do the math. We don't know whether I'm going to be accurate or not. You know? I remember when I was here, Shana Gimel, so we used to, I teach Shana Gimel, so night Seder, I was learning for Rosenzweig Shir. And we would get the recordings of Rosenzweig Shir. I was here, this is about 10 years ago, my Shana Gimel. At that time, there was one person in all of Nofi alone with fast enough internet to download a shear that was that long. Otherwise, it would take like over a day to download it from the internet. There was one person on Nofi alone with fast enough internet. So we would, late at night, listen to Rosenzweig Shirim. So I remember, it's great. He is he's an enormous Talmid Chacham and a big tzaddik. Time is not his strong point in a very good way. He loves Torah, and sometimes it's hard to stop, you know? So he would, so you would see how much time is left in the recording. And he would say, you know, we only have 5 minutes left. And you look at the clock, and it's like 27 minutes left of this year. So I gave you that comfort zone. So I said 15, we're now down to about 14 or so, and I will definitely try my best. But we saw so far about fasting, yahrzeit, different meanings of yahrzeit, yahrzeit versus hilula, a little bit of a happy day, something being uplifted, a little bit of a sad day, someone passed away. We saw the minhag to fast, what's quoted in the poskim based on the Gemara Maseches Nedarim. We saw that some are noig avelos even on that day, not to go to simchas. We saw on the other hand that the minhag of fasting has sort of fallen out, in at least many circles a little bit, despite the Shulchan Aruch Ramah, who we usually go with. Not saying that. And then we spoke about three reasons or so why it developed. People are a little bit weaker. the emphasis on Talmud Torah, and Chabad, it's about worshiping Kadosh Baruch Hu with your guf, not removing your guf. Where does it come from? Who has seen this? We may not have seen fasting. Who's seen the post 6:30 Shacharis, you know, Kiddush Club drinking after shul, like Tikkun for the Neshama? Yeah. I hear you. I find it odd when, I'm sorry, this is like my, it's that, yeah. So you have that. You have a lot of questions about that. We'll talk about a halakha question or two at the end, as far as some of the halakha issues with it. But what does happen is it became a minhag to have sudas in some places, and then many to have the l'chaim, and many to have the l'chaim at the end. There are some who argue that the minhag really sort of developed. People used to make siyumim for a yartzai. You make a siyum for a yartzai, so they would have a suda. And then suddenly, as we stopped making siyumim, but like the suda was great, so we kept the suda going even once the siyum part dropped. But others try and be our malami tzlus. Where does it come from? And we're shifting away from classical poskim further. The Minchas Yitzchak, Dine Weiss. A little bit hard to write a tshuva about something that doesn't really have sources in the Gemara or poskim. But then he, you know, meets the challenge. Aval, mikol makom yisodaso b'hare kodesh. And he quotes a couple of different sources about where this idea comes from. You find, I think, this is really like we're deep into Hasidus right now. What happens when you make the when you drink? You do three things when you drink. Number one, you make a bracha, shahakal. Number two, you say a l'chaim. Number three, you drink. Now, in source number 21, the Minchas Chein. Anyone who wrote the Minchas Chein? Anyone from Queens? Anyone daven in Rav Olbam's shul? Well, he wrote it. So Rav Olbam wrote Minchas Chein. He's become chacham living in Queens. So he has a long tshuva all about the minhag to say l'chaim. So he has a discussion there in the tshuva about like how exactly you do it. Do you say l'chaim before the bracha, or is that inappropriate? Because how can you say l'chaim before you make a bracha? But can I make the bracha and then say l'chaim? Because l'chaim is probably a hefsek between the bracha and drinking it. Or do I just, you know, do I make a bracha, taste a little bit, then say l'chaim, and then drink more, and then, you know, kini matova manayim. So, but you have those three things going on when you make the l'chaim. All three are pointed to in the Minchas Yitzchak and other achronim as to what exactly it is that we're, why exactly this minhag developed and what we're trying to accomplish. Ode Isa Beis there in Minchas Yitzchak. Shehil Toelas Baal HaYartzai. Like we said before, some of the art discussion is about the person who passed away, and some is about the one observing the Yartzai. So some say for the Baal HaYartzai, like we said before, one of the reasons why we fast, the same reason we have why we fast, we find parallel reasons for how this minhag developed. So why are we fasting? So we said one reason was because for the person, the Yartzai, who has the Yartzai himself, it's a way of trying to the mazel's off a little bit, and we want to fix things that he should be okay. So we say toelas lebaha yartzai, the isra mazli osa yom kanoda. Something, it's a little bit of a tricky time. The akin bevarchem oso bebirchas l'chaim. The reason why we have the whole thing is that we could say l'chaim to the one celebrating the yartzai. L'chaim, that everything should be great. L'chaim, that's reason number one. Second reason, this is like this is really fascinating. Shuv yesh lomar. Says shtiyas ha. What's that? Yodichin? Yeah, what is that? Alcohol. Alcohol, non-wine. Like the whiskey, that kind of thing. The yard site. Bo the rames al she'eitz hadas gefen. Chazal say the eitz hadas was wine. Was wine. Alcoholic. It was something. It was great that leads to alcoholic beverages. And that's what Hevi Misal Olam. Had other Mechaba never sinned, and if Neitz Hadas, There'd be no misa in the world. So why are we drinking? We're drinking to remind ourselves of the following. It's the way of comforting the avel. This is very smart. Again, this is one of these ideas, like, you will either take it or leave it. Like, you may be like, ah, that's so beautiful, or you may say, like, that's odd. So, whatever camp you're in, you're great. Zeh gufei havinicham avelim. Kolomar, the lo hachet ha-niftar dara, el gzeres ha-makom me'achet ha-kadim. We're saying to the Baal Yartzeit, it's a nicham avelim. The reason why the person passed away, it's not because of their sins. It's because of the wine. It's because of the Eitz Hadas. That's what brought Misa into the world. Once Adam and Chava sinned, so everyone was going, no one is immortal. Everyone passes away. So we're reminding as we drink it, this is what caused Misa, not anything else. So he talks about, I skipped that part, how we call the whiskey and liquor like Yayin Tzrach. It's like we refer to it as like a kind of wine.
So where's the wine made to us?
It was Geffen. It was grapes. Wine comes from grapes. What I'm here for, you know? Fill in those facts. I don't even know. But I trust that to be the case. That's what it says in all the wine bottles I have.
Why would you replace it? You should take wine, not whiskey.
Correct. That's part of the take it or leave out of this. Yes.
If you don't have that, then wouldn't that defeat the purpose? If you don't have that in mind when you drink, doesn't that defeat the purpose?
I don't know how segulas work, so the answer is I have absolutely no idea. I mean, no, I'm saying I don't know is the answer to that question. If you're asking the question of do most people who drink have this in mind, I assume most people who drink have in mind the, that was a little bit smoky, or, you know, like other random comments they have. I don't know if most people have in mind this idea. I have not been, I'm aware of no empirical research, but I'm willing to wager money on it.
What you're saying is it's more of a reminder for us as opposed to any...
Exactly, yes, correct. The Nicham Avelim is not another reason why you could take it or leave it. The Nicham Avelim is seemingly not really happening.
Yeah.
Correct. So if you want to view it as your life's mission to put signs up by Tikkunim, you know, have this in mind. All the power to you. Okay. Now, the simpler answer is a little bit to do with the Suda in general. It's just to make brachas. To make brachas, to say amen, another's chus. It's just that's some of the poskim also point out. It's just that the brachas itself. That's what you find in the Tegavriel. The nearly tam b'toel satikim kikidayim ha-brachas ha-nanim lefnei ha-shtia v'achilash os ma'am. But the bracha itself has the ability. He paraphrases the Gemara in brachos that alti kala, the brachas hedyot, alti kala be'necha. The bracha that every person makes is really is something which is very powerful. You get more people to make brachas, so that's a good thing. It's an extra zechus for the person who passed away. Certainly something which is meaningful. There's one minor halachic discussion, which just happens to be interesting, which is the question of how many people daven in shuls where on... how many people daven in shuls where they have shalosh shittos inside the shul itself? Okay, so the reason I was wondering was really because I wanted to have people raising their hand. I thought it would help you listen for the last 5 minutes. But also because I was interested. You have a discussion in the Rishon already. It emerged in the Gemara and the Pesachim and Arvei Pesachim. It comes up in a couple of places. The Gemara Masechet Megillah and a little bit Tosfos in the first part of Bava Basra on Gemara Beis, which is discussion of eating and drinking in shuls. And the question of the Gemara seems to tell us that we're not allowed to drink in shuls. Some do have the minhag to drink it. Some do drink and have meals in shuls. Some a little bit less. Insert now. To Rosh Yeshiva says something important to listen to. Next. It also says that so there are discussions in the Rishonim already about having Suda's mitzvahs in shuls and things like that. So part of the question of Shalosh Shudis, one of the discussions, the posting the Rishonim talk about, Sifat Frank and Howard Tzvi has a long, nice paper about this. Moshe talks about it, or Rabbi Yosef thinks about it also. As far as the Shalosh Shudis and Shul, things like that, how much is it Some are much more comfortable with certain Siddur mitzvahs, like Shalosh Siddur take place in the shul. Some are less comfortable with a Siddur mitzvah like a Purim Siddur taking place in the shul, for obvious reasons. Part of the question that comes up is, what about this this tikkun, the l'chaim that you make, what about that taking place inside the shul itself? Ravadia points out, Nevi'a Omer from the Sechemet, the Sechemet argued it's a minhag that I don't have to drink. I don't want to talk about whether it's a good minhag or a bad minhag, but doing it inside the shul, he felt was not at all pasha to do. Which part of the question becomes, you know, whether you buy it or you don't buy some of these reasons, you know, the Eitz Hadas thing, does it for you, doesn't do it for you? Does it get the drinking to a point where that has like a mitzvah-like status where we'd be makel for you to do it inside the shul? Or is it, it's a vort that you can take it or leave it? You know, part of that question, as far as the poskim, that's part of the discussion. There's a great discussion about it. It's called Higyoni HaParsha. Written by, what's the first name, Wasserman?
Yeah,
Ari Wasserman. He's a Baal Bas in L.A. who has, his farm are, they're fantastic. He learned here in Jalvim. He is a, he's a Baal Bas, he's a lawyer, I think. I read an article about him. He wakes up like 4 o'clock in the morning, I think, to learn. And I don't know, he seems unbelievable. And his farm are great. And here, Higyoni HaParsha, Vayikra has a long discussion about this. Eating and drinking in shuls, and a little bit about eating and drinking in a little bit about eating and drinking the l'chaim you make for the yahrzeit also in shuls, which is the halachic question, which is partially a question about the halachos of when you eat and drink in shul, partially a question about how exactly, what status does something like this have. I want to chazer and then try and end with one idea. We saw so far the following. We saw a discussion about yahrzeit, different perspectives on it. We saw the Hilula has a certain, like a, almost like a happier element going up, Olam Haba, something which is really great. We saw a little bit of the sadder element. The Yom of the Ptira, the Yom passed away, you're saying goodbye. We saw the way that we observe it in Shulchan Aruch, they talk much more about a tainus, about Nihugi Avelas taking place in the day of the Yahrzeit. We saw that many don't have that minhag nowadays, and the post can talk about it as far as Nefesh Hadoro, people are a little bit weaker nowadays. People talk about as far as the Talmud Torah, the Torah take on the learning, and Chabad, Babich Rebbe, talking about how, because the goal isn't fasting, the goal is worshiping your Bonesh Olam with your good. We saw the question of why some, we saw the question of the Sudas and the L'chaim a little bit. It's good for the Brachas. That brings the Nifig Avril has that shot, it's another Schuss. It's good for the L'chaim, we're talking about Yahrzeit, L'chaim, everything should be great, everything should be sweet. And it's the drinking itself, which was that idea of the Yayin Sraf, the Eitz Hadas. It's not the sins of the Niftar, it's really the fact that it's a gezeira in the world, that everyone, no one is immortal. That's what we saw. I think that one yisod that emerges from the discussion, which I think is an important one, irrespective of how a yahrzeit is honored or celebrated, irrespective of how we, if a person follows the root of the fasting or some of the other perspective of what it's really about, a yahrzeit is a time when we saw there's a focus a little bit on the Baal HaYahrzeit and there's a focus on the Niftar. And it's an opportunity to reflect, like we saw with the Hilula, Lachmenu Shehatzadik Adayin Imanu, Umashpia Aleinu B'Olam Haza, to think about the continued and lingering impact of someone who passed away. That we believe there's a next world, and we believe that there's a connection between the two of them. And that this is a time when we can, it's a time to reflect upon that. It's also a time where we see that the things that we do have a lot of impact. We do mitzvahs on this day, Le'ilu Nishmas. It's a sheer now that's done, Le'ilu Nishmas, that we hope really uplifts. It uplifts neshama to another place in Shemayim. And we should be zocha that to accomplish that, we should be zocha that Klal Yisrael should, and everyone should really be uplifted, you know, one more level going up. And that should really be our bracha. And thank you so much. Have a good night. Guys, if you could say,